This is 5 o'clock shadow. Robert Knight here on the Pacific Radio Network. We now continue with an act of police brutality against a journalist. Last week, on Wednesday, during the general strike in the city of Oakland, California, we opened up that edition of 5 o'clock shadow with a live, in-depth, on-the-scene report from our correspondent, Scott Campbell. This was during the earlier part of the day, and later on, people would go to the port facility in Oakland, one of the busiest on the West Coast, and cause a shutdown of operations there in conjunction with Teamster unionists who were in sympathy with the actions for the 99%. Little did we know that later that day, our shadow correspondent, Scott Campbell, would himself be a victim of police brutality when he would be needlessly shot while filming a police line as part of his correspondence and reporter's duties. He was filming. He had sought permission from the police. He was at a distance that in a video appears to be the width of a street of four or five lanes wide. And as he documented the events of later that evening at about 1 a.m. local time in Oakland, he was shot by a so-called sub-lethal projectile by the Oakland police. And here's how it sounded.
Is this okay? Is this okay?
The sound of our correspondent, Scott Campbell, at the Oakland Occupy protest and general strike. We just caught up with Scott Campbell last night on a freeform radio program we host called Earthwatch here on Pacifica WBAI in New York. And we spoke with him where he gave full details about that incident that has been characterized by Jeffrey Alpert of the University of South Carolina Criminal Justice Department as being such an egregious use of police force that he was, quote, astonished, amazed, and embarrassed. Here now, our conversation last night with SHOT correspondent Scott Campbell.
I'm doing better, and I appreciate your coverage of events here in Occupy Oakland, and thank you for having me on again.
What just happened?
That's something that has yet to be answered. It appears that, as the video shows, and it's gotten quite a response online and in the media, I was filming a police line from a distance of 20 to 25 feet away, and after about 30 seconds passed in the filming, a officer lifts his weapon in and fires at me with a projectile, I believe. Now it seems that most folks I've talked to who know more about this than I do, it seems that it was a beanbag projectile.
Did it hit you in the cranium? Where did it
No,
hit?
It did not.
Where did it hit you?
It hit me in the upper inner right thigh. Had it been a few inches higher, it would have been much more disastrous. But fortunately, it hit me in the thigh.
What is your medical condition? How are you?
For several days, it was extremely painful to move around, let alone walk. And now I'm regaining a bit of my mobility. Right now, I'm here at the General Assembly at Occupy Oakland. It's still massively swollen and very painful and very bruised.
Tell us about how you got there and what led you to that incident, and then we'll catch up on what's happening now.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I attended the general strike, and it was a fantastic, beautiful day with tens and tens of thousands of people coming out and participating in a variety of actions all around the city, as I'm sure your listeners are aware. And later on that evening, a group of individuals reopened a foreclosed-upon building that had previously provided services to homeless individuals and people in need, and reopened it to offer it back to the nonprofit that had previously run it, or to use it as an occupation crisis center in the service of the Oakland community. The police dispersed individuals from that area with tear gas, and after that, folks regrouped in Oscar Grant Plaza, and the police started surrounding the north and east side of the center of the city with lines of riot police.
In New York, they call it Zuccotti Park, but we call it Liberty Park. For those who don't know who Oscar Grant is, why did it get that name?
Oscar Grant, it's formerly known as Franco Gallo Plaza, and Frank certainly deserves the honor of having his name on the plaza as well. Oscar Grant was a young individual who, on New Year's Day in 2009, I believe, was pulled off a BART train by BART police officers, and while he was laying down on his back, he was shot in the back by a BART police officer and was murdered by the police. And since then, the officer was sentenced. He spent only a few months in jail for, I think, involuntary manslaughter or something like that, and there's been numerous protests ever since the incident happened, so the plaza has been renamed in his honor and remembrance.
So there you were a week ago in that park.
I was there, and I saw that the police had formed, as I said, these lines around the north and east side of the city center around Oscar Grant Plaza. And I had my camera with me, and given, as you mentioned, you know, past incidents of police violence and police brutality against demonstrators, I figured it would be useful for me to film the police lines in case something were to happen later on, and I could pass that footage on so officers might be able to be identified if they committed any acts of violence against protesters.
Well, that's quite a challenging task because you're not the first Scot to be shot.
This is true. Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I mean, what happened to me is, I guess, getting a lot of attention because I was able to catch it on tape, but in the context of police violence in general in Oakland and police violence against Occupy Oakland demonstrators and supporters, what happened to me was relatively minor. And poor Scott Olson, he is, you know, he's still hospitalized, he still can't speak, and we're not sure what the end results of his injuries are going to be.
The press surface is called rubber bullets, but I've seen these things. They're like a hard rubber broomstick handle thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, rubber bullets is certainly a misnomer. They can either be plastic bullets, like you explained, very, very solid, very hard, fired at a very high velocity, or they're really what they really are steel bullets that are coated in rubber. So, you know, they're referred to as non-lethal or less than lethal, but they can be lethal, as we've seen here and elsewhere in places such as Palestine.
I hope you can relive that moment. Tell us what happened again.
Sure. I was in Oscar Grant Plaza. There was a police line along where San Pablo Avenue and 16th Street intersect, for those who know the city of Oakland. There were a couple dozen, maybe three dozen police officers lined up. I approached from my left side of the line. An officer at that end says, "Stop, step back." At this point, I was probably 15, 20 feet away. So I take several steps back, 5 or 10 feet, and I ask, and I begin recording, "Is this okay? Is this okay?" Asking to see if the distance where I was standing was acceptable to him. He didn't respond to my multiple questions, and given that I was on public property, there were no disturbances or provocations of violence of any kind going on, I proceeded to walk parallel to the police line and film the line of officers. And once I reached towards the end of the line, and even as I was backing away further from the line, you can see an officer raise his weapon and shoot me.
I understand that there's some image of that on YouTube. Is that correct?
Yes, I posted the video on YouTube, and I made it public on Sunday afternoon. And since then, it's received quite a bit of attention. It has more than 500,000 views.
Tell us about what happened just a week ago that the mayor denied.
That was the eviction of the camp on October 25th, where I was I was arrested. I wasn't a victim of police violence that day. But, yes, she ordered the police to disperse the camp and then conveniently went on a trip to Washington, D.C., came back.
Washing her hands, as it were, with her advisor, Dan Siegel.
Exactly. And there was such a huge outcry. There were not only at the destruction of the camp and just the massive use of force. There were 17 different police agencies called out to destroy the camp. And then later that day, this happened early Tuesday morning, later that day on Tuesday, protesters regathered and tried to retake the camp and were dispersed with tear gas, stun grenades, other police projectiles, and that's where Scott Olson was hit and gravely wounded. And after that, she capitulated and said, that's okay, you can have the camp back now, and saying, basically laid all the blame on the police chief and on her assistant, the city advisor, I believe it is.
So much for Democratic Party liberals. How are you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing okay. I'm recovering. It's been a crazy week, to be honest with you. I hadn't expected so much attention to be drawn to this issue. I guess I'm glad that it has, but I really want to emphasize that the focus is not on me. It's on if this is just one instance of police brutality here in Oakland against demonstrators and against the community in general, and particular people of color. But I'll heal. I was fortunate that my wound is it's extremely painful and it looks horrible, but it will get better. And there are several people who knows when they'll heal, and there are many people who have been taken by police in Oakland who will never heal.
Tell us in New York how to understand Oakland.
Oakland is many things. I think your description is very accurate. There's extreme wealth here and extreme poverty. And we have North Oakland, we have the Oakland Hills, which are largely, white, wealthy communities. And then we have the Flatlands. We have West Oakland, East Oakland, and Deep East Oakland, which are predominantly people of color, African Americans, Latinos. And there's a vast gap. You can almost see it looking at a map where 580, the freeway, cuts through Oakland. It sort of is a de facto divider between the white community and communities of color, and also a divider between class privilege and incidents of violence.
We're speaking with Scott Campbell, the latest victim of Oakland police, and who knows what other agencies are involved.
There has been some discussion of it, and there's definitely concern that, especially given these waves of crackdowns we're seeing against Occupy movements across the country, that I don't think that Gene Kwan is the one at the top making the decisions. I think that this has become a national issue and a concern for the federal government, and that there are individuals behind the scenes who are orchestrating and planning and trying to figure out the best ways to get rid of and delegitimize the movement. Here in Oakland, we've certainly identified agent provocateurs and undercover police who have attacked other demonstrators and who have tried to disrupt the movement and surveil the movement from inside of the movement. So there's definitely awareness of that happening, and we're doing our best that we can to avoid it.
What have you learned in Oakland that might be of use to other occupiers across the country and across the world?
I think what we've learned here in Oakland is to not give up. I think there are politicians and there are NGOs and there are police and business interests who will attempt to divide us and who will attempt to tell us what we can and can't do, how we're trying to hurt the city. Here, the media has been on an all-out war against us here at Occupy Oakland and also in Occupy San Francisco. And the key is to remain divided, realize that what we stand for is the 99%, and that the people cracking down and trying to get rid of us are working on behalf of or a part of the 1%. And so when they kick you out, you can't let that stop you. You can't say, well, we did our part, now let's go home. You have to remobilize. We already have plans in case of eviction, because it seems like in the coming days they're going to try and evict us again, and we're not going to let it stop us. So make plans, be prepared, get networks of notification ready, text messages, email networks, any way you can spread the word as quickly as possible, and, all the other things that go along with protesting, you'll support, media support, and that sort of thing.
Well, Scott Campbell, let you and your colleagues know that WBAI, Pacifica Radio, 5 o'clock Shadow, Earth Watch, and all the rest of us of kindred spirits will be with you. And we wish you the best of health and litigation and justice and whatever else serves the 99%. You're my hero, man.
Well, that really does mean a lot coming through you, and I truly appreciate it. I truly appreciate the coverage you've given to this movement, and I send out my solidarity to all of you in New York and around the U.S. and around the world who are working in the trenches here with us in Oakland.
Journalist and police victim Scott Campbell, correspondent for 5 O'Clock Shadow, speaking with us last night on the Freeform radio program Earthwatch. And that concludes today's edition of 5 O'Clock Shadow. Thanks to Arne Gunderson. Thanks to Thiago Pozo for production and Michael G. Haskins for engineering. We welcome your comments, tips, suggestions, and questions and leaks with an email to theshadow, theshadow, at wbai.org, or drop us a note at 5 O'Clock Shadow, WBAI 120 Wall Street, New York 10005. Thank you for listening. I'm Robert Knight in New York.